Governor Evers made the decision to close all K-12 schools in the state until at least April 6th amid the novel coronavirus outbreak. The move follows other districts around the country. But for parents and caregivers suddenly thrust in the role of teacher, the next few weeks can feel overwhelming. Our next guest joins us to talk about how adults can keep kids and teenagers learning and engaged as they're stuck at home for the foreseeable future. Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is a pediatrician at American Family Children's Hospital who is deeply involved in Reach Out and Read, an initiative that makes literacy promotion a standard part of pediatric primary care. Dr. Navsaria, thanks a lot for coming back with us on Central Time.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Before we get to learning at home, let's just talk about living at home a little bit. A lot of parents working at home who hadn't been previously with their kids at home. Do you just have some advice on keeping a happy, healthy home atmosphere when we're all caught at home together now?
Yeah, this is certainly a new challenge for many. There are certainly parents out there who have been working from home with their kids at home over time, but for many, this is a completely novel situation. I think in general, it depends on the age of your child. Certainly the older your child, the more that they're able to entertain themselves or actually might prefer that you not bother them while they entertain themselves. Whereas younger children, of course, need much more attention. I think a lot of it depends on trying to set up a schedule and some sense of routine and also clear communication about when you may not be able to be bothered or you know, that only emergencies are a good reason for someone coming and interrupting you in the middle of an important phone call or something along those lines. I think that, you know, it's hard to for parents to sometimes give up the feeling of, well, I had this many hours in a day before to work. I should have that many hours. There's going to need to be some give on that because children's needs also need to be met during this time.
Now, getting to the learning side of things, I've seen some people make the case that we don't need to pretend we're turning our home into a school. We don't need to be sitting kids down with textbooks for hours. We can do learning even if we're not doing it exactly like we do it at school. What are some of your basic thoughts on, you know, making sure kids keep on learning and keep engaged?
You know, the amazing thing is in this environment we have now, in this world we have, is that there's so much available online. And it doesn't have to be formal learning. Honestly, the best thing that I always look for is, are children curious about the world around them? Are they figuring out how to learn more about the world around them? And also learn how to identify what's valuable and useful and reliable information. And that doesn't need to be sitting there and doing math problems or writing essays or things like that, but it can be a lot of inquiry that they can really guide and direct on their own. And for some children, this might actually be a very liberating opportunity for them to chase down looking at a topic that isn't something that they've been assigned or told that they need to do.
Let's go to the younger kids now, Dr. Navsaria. And I know there's a lot of guidelines saying even for educational purposes, you don't want too much actual screen time for kids. What are some things we might just do with, you know, the things in our house or looking out the window or in our yard? What kind of things can we do to create an environment?
Well, certainly, you know, it depends on where you're living and what sorts of environment you're in. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with going out into your yard. If you're not in too congested or built up an area, you know, there's nothing wrong with going for a walk as long as you're maintaining appropriate social distancing from people that you might pass near. Walking my dog, I've noticed, you know, people are giving each other a good berth while still waving a friendly hello from a distance, which is a good thing. And then even inside your own home, there can be all sorts of opportunities. You know, I have to say that, you know, people don't think of it this way, but cooking, things you can do in the kitchen is actually an excellent way to learn all sorts of science. And there's excellent web pages and books out there talking about the science of cooking and trying to understand what's going on there. I'll also add that, you know, we discourage screen usage primarily because a lot of screen usage in children is aimed at entertainment or commercialized activities, trying to turn them into consumers, so to speak. It's not that the screen itself is necessarily bad. So the same way that we don't talk about paper time, like, gee, what's on this piece of paper, is more important than, you know, talking about the actual paper itself. Same with screens. It all depends on what you're using the screen for, and are you talking about what your children are viewing on that screen and what they're learning from it, and setting good role models yourself for what they're experiencing on screens.
And for those younger school kids, can you talk to us about scheduling? How do we build some kind of structure into our days?
You know, it sounds very simple, but it's amazing how important it is. Even hanging up a sheet of paper with, times and what's being planned, right? Like having a set lunchtime, having a set snack time, saying at this point we're going to go outside and do this, et cetera. Just like a school might, structure a day, it helps give kids a set of expectations, and also that, okay, maybe I shouldn't be whining that I'm hungry because sometimes that's out of boredom rather than actual hunger. Oh, because I know that lunch is going to be in an hour, or something like that. But it helps to give them that visual, and maybe even giving them the opportunity to check off or put a star sticker next to the day as it goes by, will really help offer a lot of that type of structure. And honestly, I think it offers the adults, if you have other adults in the home and you're trying to decide who should care for kids at what time. It also helps everyone think about what are their own strengths and what are the times that they can afford, and it can really help communication between the adults.
Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria is with us, a Wisconsin pediatrician. He's with Reach Out and Read, among many other efforts. We're talking about what to do with kids who are at home to help keep them learning, help keep them engaged while schools are shut down. Dr. Nafzaria, I want to talk to you about an issue I know near and dear to your heart. How about reading with kids?
Reading, of course, as you know, is something that I think is one of the best things you can do for brain development, from the youngest ages, including newborns, all the way up through childhood and even into adulthood. I think if there's adults listening to this who don't have children in their lives that they're near, they might consider even reading aloud to each other. Of course, the moment this got really personal for me was when the public libraries had to close, which I completely understand from a public health perspective. But apparently, while others were panic buying toilet paper, I was panic placing library holds because I was concerned the libraries would close. So I think taking these opportunities to have times to read aloud together is a great way to do that kind of connection. Even if your child is old enough to read and maybe a very fluent reader and might even be a teenager, right? I think there's no problem with sitting down and saying, let's read aloud, right? We don't know how long we're going to be in this situation. So this is a great time to pick up a really engrossing chapter book and to start reading aloud. Maybe take turns, or maybe not, again, depending on what your family prefers to do. I think reading together is actually a great way of doing all these things. And again, if you don't have enough books at home and the libraries indeed are closed where you are, this is a time where even though we know for the youngest children, ebooks are not as good as physical books, they're a pretty good close second, given the circumstances.
Let's look at older kids now, and this will be piecemeal around the state, but some districts are already and some are considering getting online learning materials to their kids, trying to keep the coursework going. For those tweens and teens who have this amorphous blob of time, how do we build structure for them to make sure that, they're getting this kind of work done?
That's a great question, and it's something that I easily foresee coming up with my own two teenage children, because suddenly this routine of going to school at from these particular hours and having a class period and all is suddenly going to change. Now, some kids will do great and say, "Okay, I'm going to write down everything that needs to be done and just go plowing through it," because that's what they do. They like to see those check boxes checked. And then there's other kids who will need a lot of help to be able to apply that structure. I think for those older kids, trying to set up some block of time and say, okay, this is your quote unquote schoolwork time, having them, in theory, if you can have them close to where you may be working and letting them work side by side, that might actually be good role modeling. We're both going to sit and do our work. And if you have a quick question, you can interrupt your parent to ask something. Or at least build up the questions that they have and ask during a break. anything that can offer that kind of structure. And actually, for some kids, they might prefer to work in the morning for a couple of hours and then do some work later in the evening, rather than working, 6 hours straight through or something like that, which would be challenging.
We're talking to Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria, a pediatrician and children's literacy advocate. He's with us to talk about how parents and caregivers can help keep kids engaged and learning as states close schools amid the novel coronavirus outbreak. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you and your family working with children during this time? What questions do you have about how to keep kids interested in learning as they're out of that physical school setting? What are you doing in your own house? Do you got any fun ideas you can share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria about how parents and caregivers can keep kids in a learning mindset as they're away from school during the novel coronavirus outbreak. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you and your kids handling the transition home during this outbreak? Do you have questions for our guest about keeping kids from being bored while at home? For parents and caregivers who homeschool their kids, do you have some advice to share for parents in this situation all of a sudden? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Nafsaria, I want to ask about parents who might be anxious about the coronavirus, about the future of their jobs, extra stress, maybe dealing with the transition to working at home and having the kids at home. Do you have advice for parents to get through that anxiety and stress and still be the best parents they can be?
Yeah, that's a great point there, and it's something that certainly, as in my role as president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, I have been trying to encourage people to think about that. While children are not directly impacted by this virus to the same extent that adults, and particularly high-risk adults, are, they still actually bear so much of the burden because of how anxious everyone is and of how the focus can be taken off of what children do continue to need. The impact of the virus on children is particularly emphatic in a psychosocial manner than anything else. So for one thing, honestly, kids or adults, I think everyone could benefit from sometimes just turning off the news, turning off, social media. There's a lot of things going on out there and a lot of panic. I think people are right to be concerned and worried, but we don't, just like with any disaster or major world event, I think when you see it over and over and over again, as an adult that wears on you, and kids can not sometimes recognize that it's not that the same thing's happening over and over, it's one instance or one continuous situation. So kind of trying to not necessarily shield them completely from what's going on, but make sure that they're not being immersed in it constantly, and being a good role model in that way, I think, is really important. I think it's also important to be relatively straightforward with kids, but also reassuring, that, look, this is something that is serious, but we're also trying to do this to help out everyone, and that people, lots of people, are working really hard on it, not just doctors and nurses and healthcare and hospitals, but lots of other people in public health, the groceries, supermarket folks are trying to make sure everyone has food, childcare workers are available, et cetera, are all working together to try to make sure that we can beat this all together. And I think that can be remarkably reassuring for children, and I also hope for adults.
Are there resources out there you'd point people toward, whether online or service agencies or anything like that, with people who have questions about working with their kids at home, especially when it comes to education?
Yeah, certainly. In terms of talking to your kids and how to adjust to all these things, I generally send people to the American Academy of Pediatrics parent portal, which is called healthychildren.org. And right on the front page there, they have a page that summarizes all the resources around COVID-19. And that's, of course, getting updated virtually every single day that's out there. And there's a lot of things on there about how to talk to your kids, about how to keep your keep yourself healthy and your family healthy and all of those things. I know that the WPR page on this will also be linking to a number of different articles about how to talk to your children about this and about schools and being at home and what you can and can't do with your kids. And those are all, there's so much coming out that it's almost impossible to keep up. I think every hour that goes by, I see some new resource that's been made freely available or a new thing that's coming online. One thing that I thought was really lovely that I didn't even know had been going on for several years, but they sped up the release on it this year, is the New York Academy of Medicine has a set of coloring book pages that are contributed by world museums. I think something over 100 museums, and it's kind of a change from the usual type of coloring. And you can take these and print them out and be coloring in these wacky kind of, you know, Egyptian hieroglyphics and all sorts of things. And I think it's just a change of pace and very different from what the usual is.
We're talking to Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria, pediatrician at American Family Children's Hospital. He's also involved in Reach Out and Read. That's an initiative that makes literacy promotion a standard of part of pediatric primary care. He is with us to talk about educating kids at home, or at least try to keep them learning and actively engaged while students are away from school for at least a couple weeks, maybe longer. Dr. Nafzaria, if this goes on longer than just that couple weeks, do you have thoughts on how we can, I don't know, build systems to try to make sure that even though kids aren't in school, they're not losing this, what, quarter of a school year?
You know, the thing is, people are already working on that. I know that many school districts, the teachers are working away busily to try to figure out how can they convert things to at least some virtual options. We may not be able to scale up the ability to do interactive things online as quickly as we'd like. One of the challenges is that not all families have broadband internet access or computers that can handle that. This week alone, I think many in the business and other communities have discovered small outages or glitches in the online video conferencing systems as suddenly everyone's doing that. But I think that we can get there and try to figure out what's actually feasible. Of course, the goal is to say, how can we get back to doing business as usual, face-to-face, reopen the schools, and so on. But I wouldn't view the loss of a quarter as being some mass impediment to children's learning. I think I would view this as, well, there's a lot we can still learn from this, and that, you know, everyone is being affected by this. So everyone will have to kind of get back into normalcy at some point, which is different from it happening to just a few people.
Let's bring on a caller now. Jan is with us in Middleton. Jan, hi.
Hi. I was just having fun the other day online, and I found that Betty White and other actors are reading children's books online, and I was enthralled. I thought they were great. But the other thing is that there are also astronauts in the space station who are doing that. And one of the things that's really cool about that is the woman that was reading the book had her hair tied back and her ponytail was all filed flat out behind her. And so it was not only she was reading this book about a little girl wanting to be an engineer, but she was also visually interesting herself. So those are a couple other things, and I'm sure you can just Google what it is online and come up with it if you want to. But
I love it, Jan. Thank you so much. I know most authors are doing readings of their books as well, so we can read to our kids, but we can bring in some special guest stars, Dr. Nafzaria.
Certainly, and you know, there's so many of those I didn't even know about the astronauts reading out loud. It's kind of too bad that we need to have a global pandemic in order to bring those sorts of things, have those sorts of things happen, or at least be made more prominent. Reach Out and Read, actually, we are working on doing that as well, and bringing some of our staff and healthcare providers who are available to record themselves reading out loud in a similar way as well.
Thanks for that call, Jan. That reminds me, on Monday, we're going to talk to a senior at Stratford High here in Wisconsin who's hosting an online story time. He had been, I gather, reading to younger kids in person. He's moved that online now. Dr. Nafzaria, how about leaving us with some thoughts? Maybe kids older kids in particular who want to find ways to help the community during these time of school closures?
Yes, you know, I mean, while we're certainly trying to have people limit their exposure to one another, if you're able to consistently help with children that are nearby that you can be with the same kids, that can be a great help to families who are trying to perhaps continue working from home. You know, again, I wouldn't endorse people going right. and being with many different kids, but I think that can be helpful. And they can be a good role model in helping children read aloud and helping spend time with them, ask them questions, maybe explore their yards, you know, things like that. And a lot of these things can be done even remotely. If you have a nephew or a niece or a cousin that's younger, even in another state, getting on, you know, FaceTime or one of the other video chat apps, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, and even just 15 minutes of that can really be a break in the day for everyone and really provide a connection, because so much of this is still about maintaining social connection. And we know that those socio-emotional relationships are really what children need, because that's what makes them resilient through times like this.
Dr. Nafsaria, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria, a Wisconsin pediatrician. He joined us for a look at how parents and caregivers can keep kids learning while schools are closed. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, a Wisconsin public health expert joins the show with the latest on efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin and around the world. That and much more coming up Monday here on Central Time.